Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 60 for August 23rd, 2008. Comeback. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by GoToMeeting. Online meetings made easy. For a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting for your PC or Mac, visit GoToMeeting.com/monkeys. It's time for Jumping Monkeys. Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Megan Maroney is in the house.
Megan. Thanks for having me once again.
I'm very well.
So, big week on the Jumping Monkeys family.
What happened?
Annabella started kindergarten.
I saw you guys walking to school. It was the cutest thing I ever saw.
And
I saw
you driving Henry to school. It was so cute. I think you guys were fighting when you were driving by.
No. We were getting along really well. But it was funny because I said, there's Megan and Annabella. They're going to, it was her second day of kindergarten. And I said, boy, Henry, I remember when I was doing that. Do you remember that? He said, no. I said, it wasn't that long ago, dude. Wow. How does she like kindergarten so far?
She loves it. It's such a special place. And I cried. She did not cry yesterday. I cried when I dropped her off.
I'll tell you, the days I cried are the first day and the last day of kindergarten. Last day's hard. Of course, Henry liked it so much, he went there.
Did it twice.
2 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, he really didn't remember. He did it twice.
And you have really great teachers, and it's a really lovely little school.
Yeah.
And, I'm so happy.
I'll tell you what, I was fine until they sang the good morning song.
Good morning, dear earth. Good morning, dear sun.
I know. I told a friend of mine who said the same thing, that she started to cry when they sang that song. I said, you know, that you still cry, and your son isn't. Is he in eighth grade?
Yeah, he's in eighth
grade. Yeah, and you don't still cry, but you still remember that song.
Oh, I remember it. I do cry.
When you sing it?
I cry when I sing. I just shed a little tear right now.
And a big week for you, too. Henry back to school.
Yeah, Henry back to school. And Abby back off to France in about 2 weeks.
She's
September 3rd. She goes to... Wow, that's not so far, is it?
No,
wow.
I think that's less than 2 weeks.
Holy moly. Holy moly. In a way, you know, it's funny. I think... nature does an interesting thing with teenagers. It makes them so unpleasant that it's not so hard to separate. It's like, get out of here. Goodbye. I'm done with you.
Yeah. Someone posted on my blog that in my story about kindergarten, they said at where they work, it's a split. Like the kids who are the parents who have under teenagers, they always cry after they drop off the first day of school. The teenagers, they come in, woo! Yes.
Yeah.
School started.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Actually, I was surprised. Henry really is enjoying school.
He's, oh, good.
Yeah. So that's interesting because he has the classes for the slow kids. He's in the slow. They track you.
Yeah.
They say they don't track. They track.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
Aww.
He's in, independent living. How to take a bus. Things like that,
That's
not true. I'm just kidding.
I got some good recommendations of books for him, too, from people who listened to our last episode with the Stinky Cheese Man.
Right.
And so I will pass those on to everyone.
I'd like to get him reading a little bit more.
So today we're going to talk to Emma Gilby Keller. She's author of the book The Comeback. It's a book about leaving the workplace to raise kids and then going back. So it should be interesting. She, Emma, is the author of a biography of Winnie Mandela. And she took time off, raised her kids while her husband became the executive editor of the New York Times. And now she's back.
She made the comeback.
She made the comeback with this book, The Comeback.
You aren't going to make a comeback, are you?
What do you mean? I've been working.
That's what I'm saying. You never left.
I never left. I left 3 months with Annabella and 6 months with the boys, but I never went back to what I was doing.
Well, that, and in a way, that's the thing, is that you are working, but you're working at home, so you haven't had to.
Right.
You kind of had the best of both worlds, I think.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever go back to a 9-to-5 job in the office.
What was your last 9-to-5 job? It wasn't tech TV, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay.
It was.
You call that a 9-to-5 job, huh?
Yeah, well, I guess.
But you wouldn't go back to TV. I mean, what would you go back to if you went back? Would it be web?
I don't know.
Maybe
I
you
wouldn't.
Would be TV.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
No, I'm here. My next 9-to-5 job is going to be here.
It is. You guys are working at Twit. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and believe me, that could happen any minute now.
Yeah.
We are, it's so much work to do here.
Right.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, so I'm interested in her story.
Jennifer
so
made a comeback.
She did, yeah. She's.
Jennifer is a psychotherapist and.
And she was away from the office for many, many years until just like the last 2 or 3 years, right? Wasn't it? I mean, she got her, I know she got her own office space first. She told me she got, the big thing she did was get her office space.
That was the first
and
step.
And first, what she did there was just read magazines for a while.
Yeah, we rented an office for her for a year that never, you know, was just kind of a nice place to hang.
She was planning her comeback.
She was planning her comeback.
But now she sees patients regularly.
She sees a number of patients. Thank you. She sees a number of patients and she's loving it. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, what's interesting about her, she does sliding scale because she feels like there's a lot of people who would like to go to psychotherapy but can't afford, you know, psychotherapists now, $125 to $250 an hour.
Yeah.
They're very expensive. So she tells her clients, you pay what you want to.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, nice for them.
I'm going to get me some psychotherapy.
nice for them. But I, you know, it, I think at this point, it's not that it's a hobby, but I think she really feels like she wants to kind of give to the community. And so it's great. Well, she's got great clients.
It must be hard because I mean, she's been volunteering strongly in the community for all these years that she's been away. That would be a good question for our guests, just about how do you transfer from that volunteering mentality to, okay, now I can get some money from my skills. So
I also wonder in this day and age what comeback means.
Right.
First of all, there's no harder job than raising kids.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like Jennifer, she was working as a volunteer.
Right.
You know, she was doing a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, so come back to what?
I mean, mm-hmm. It is interesting. Yeah. I mean, now that I've started kindergarten, there's all these kids that I've never seen at the park before. I'm like, where have these kids been? You know, this is a small town. It's small. But, you know, I think it's a lot of kids who've just been in full-time daycare. Their parents work. And I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of those people because I, you know, I have a pretty flexible schedule. And
you
most of the people
so
I meet.
You are so lucky.
Don't work in, you know, don't really work. So it'll be interesting to meet those moms.
You have the best of both worlds because you, it is hard to give up your career and raise kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind numbing sometimes.
Yeah, so it is.
You got a great mix.
I'm very thankful for what I have. So I want people to call us and tell us their experiences, their geek parenting tips, anything that they'd like to hear from us. Our number is 707-981-4602. We always play those voicemails and read those emails at the end of the show. You can email me at megan@twit.tv.
Excellent.
And you can also go to jumpymonkeys.com and click on the call me button, and then you don't have to pay anything to make that short phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd love to get your calls. We love your feedback. It's really great. So let's get some spend, save, give
spend,
before we
save,
talk
give.
To our comeback kid.
Every week we talk about one way to spend your money, one way to save your money, and one way to give back to the community. The spend, this is a little doll from Jack's Pacific called Juku Couture.
And it
there it is. Yeah, there. You want to see her?
Mm-hmm.
She's fully poseable, and her head goes all the way around.
Now, is this based on Harajuku, the Japanese...
Yes.
That's why we have the sushi behind us.
Right, exactly. That, and you forgot to eat lunch.
Yeah.
This is an interesting doll because I, and I feel like a lot of other moms, are kind of stuck between this Barbie or Bratz. You know what Bratz are, right?
Yeah, Bratz are the slutty Barbie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is a good...
These are neat. First of all, she's not super busty.
Right. And
she looks like a nice kid.
And she wears layers of clothes like the Harajuku.
Harajuku girls,
Yep.
Abby was really into Harajuku.
She was.
Yeah, because she loves Gwen Stefani, who sang song about the Harajuku girls.
So those are the teenage girls who dress as characters from anime.
They're just crazy, crazy outfits. And this is cute.
Yeah.
So I presume you can buy other clothes. And
yes,
stuff. And
there's four or five dolls. And they have true eyes. I don't know what that is, but that's part of the marketing campaign. They're very big.
That new manga look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is Haley. There are several dolls, and Haley loves to volunteer. She's a Pisces.
Does it really say that?
Yeah. So Jack's Pacific, JAKKS, Pacific.com to check these out.
Yeah,
they're new. They came out this month. Juku Couture.
How much are they?
I think they're pricey? $16 or something.
I think this is so much better than Barbie.
Yeah, or Bratz.
Or Bratz.
Yeah, I fall on the Barbie versus Bratz. I fall on the Barbie side, but I am a big fan.
Well, it's kind of a no-win situation.
it is a no-win situation. So, all right, save. Have you heard of laptop lunches?
No.
It's not what it sounds. It's really the actual lap as opposed to the computer laptop.
So these are kind of like bento boxes.
Yeah. You can save money on all the plastic bags that you pack lunches in, and you save the earth by not using like the individually packaged foods. They're very cool. They're all the plastic that they're made of is.
This is great.
Yeah, it is great. Then you don't have to spend all of your money on, you can bring your own lunch, but it's great for kids back to school. And you can also save 10%. I actually found this on the Cool Mom Picks Back to School Guide. Cool Mom Picks is one of my favorite shopping sites. Use the code Cool Mom to get 10% off.
Now, would you get? It looks like they have a laptop lunch system, but then they have the lunch date, which is more elaborate. It looks like it has more stuff.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it comes with a hemp bag.
Ooh.
And then you get the thermos and the soup thermos.
Yeah.
Designer lunch date with a bento bag. So it is inspired by the Japanese bento boxes.
Right.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can hardly, you know, I'm just shoving all the Tupperwares in there and it's just, I don't know.
We use a lot of wax paper bags, which is probably only marginally better than, plastic bags.
And in this way, you also have to depend on your kid bringing all those boxes home in there.
And when it comes with a fork and a washable fork and knife.
Right.
So you're not kind of... That's really great. I like that.
They're also selling them at Whole Foods or our Whole Foods. I don't know about your, but it's laptoplunches.com.
Cool.
All right. Now to the give. Have you heard of Nui Water? N-U-I?
No. Is it wetter water?
It's newer water. That's Nui. It's a new drink for kids. And if they have a comparison on their site, they actually sent me some to taste and it tasted pretty good. My kids liked it. And it is, they have a comparison to sugar, more sugary drinks, and it's pretty low on sugar. It's more sugar than actual water, but kids won't always drink actual water.
I love water. I try to convince my kids that water is the best thing.
Yeah. We had our kids only drinking water for a long time. Then they discovered juice and
lemonade.
See,
once
lemonade
they discover flavored stuff,
never
it's
go
hard.
Back. Yeah. So if you're in the place where you can never go back, you could give Nui Water a try. And the reason it's in the give section is 50% of the net profits go to kids' charities, which I thought was neat. That's NuiWater.com.
That's Hawaiian.
Yes.
Yeah. Are they like fruit punches? What flavors are
they? Yeah, they have fun flavors like grape, you know, ghastly grape and orange, crazy orange man, crazy.
I'm glad you're not working for them naming.
No,
orange man, crazy, crazy orange.
crazy.
Mm-hmm. They've got raging red.
Raging red.
Outrageous orange.
Outrageous orange.
And purple power.
Purple power.
Yeah. Or crazy, crazy man orange with a nutball side on the side.
All right. So I think it's time to talk to Emma Gilby Keller, who's the author of The Comeback. Her website is thecomebackbook.com. And it's an interesting new. There's so many books right now about whether you should work or not work, whether mom should work. There's like all the mommy wars going on. And I think this is a good kind of middle of the road book. It's seven stories of women who went from career to family and back again, and it comes out in September this month, I guess next month. It's still August, isn't it? So I'm very excited.
It started really early
this
year.
It did.
I don't understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk to her, and then later on in the show, I have a few more links, a video site just for kids, and archivist Allison's going to join us also. And talk to us about scanning your digital photos.
Yeah, but let's get Emma Gilby Keller on the line. So welcome to the show, Emma. You are calling from the beach. I'm so jealous.
It's nice to be here.
Yeah.
So Emma used to write for the London Daily Telegraph, The Guardian, Marie Claire magazine, More, Vanity Fair, Tattler. You were quite a journalist.
I was out and about, yes.
Yes. So then what happened?
So So then I had my daughter, Molly, who just turned 11 and stopped working and started working 7 years later when my second daughter, Alice, was 2 years old and going to pre-preschool, that program that two-year-olds go to when they sort of separate for a couple of hours a morning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I realized a couple of hours a morning was going to turn into the rest of my life, and what was I going to do? And I started work on this project then, 4 years ago.
Wow.
So you didn't want to go back to work at a paper. You didn't want to go that far.
No. I, you know, because what I used to do involved a lot of travel.
Right.
And I don't like to work in an office. I don't like being around other people that much, but I do like to travel.
Me neither.
Me neither.
You know, I have an office, and the best part of it is that I'm the only person in it, and it has a window, and I can stare out of it, and I call that work, you know. But I do like to travel, and I do like to kind of go to a story. I just couldn't do that on a regular basis.
Not in 2 hours a morning.
Mm-hmm. No.
So what's the best piece of advice you have for women who are going back into the workforce?
Well, I always like to back it up a step or two, because people say, what's the advice for women going back? And my first piece of advice is for women who are still at home, which is to realize that that time at home is finite and to enjoy that time and to use that time to do things that you're not going to do at other points of your life, kind of embrace the domestic. And if you do that, you kind of set up your home life so that you're in a much stronger position to leave it, to go back to work again. You leave a much happier family. So that's my first piece of advice. And then secondly, use that home time and use the friends that you make during that home time as your kind of first resource when you're looking for ideas or for contacts to go back into the workforce, because often you don't want to go back to what you were doing before. You want a kind of reinvention.
So how does that work? What was that?
I shut you up.
Well, I was just wondering, and how does that work? I work part-time, so a lot of the moms that I meet at the park, and they're not working at all. So how do I network with those people who aren't working either?
Well, a lot of them aren't, but a lot of them did. And chances are all of them will again. And, you know, I think that the conversation is confused when people sort of think of themselves as this group of stay-at-home mothers, as if that's all they're ever going to be for the rest of their lives. And you probably know people who are at home full-time who left pretty bustling careers to stay at home full time. And just because they're home doesn't mean they've stopped using their brains, and they can have, you can brainstorm with them about what it is that you want to do. And I find that when I talk to mothers, regardless of whether they're working or not working, and you say, here's what I want to do, they're full of ideas and people you can call and places that you can, you know, examine what you want to do. And, you know, it's a good support group in general. It might not be about work. It might be about anything, you know, if you need a doctor or if you need a realtor or if you're looking for a new school. I find women incredibly kind of resourceful.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny that we're talking about this because it's, we went through the whole period of time when women didn't leave work for raising their kids, or that was considered kind of a retro thing to do. Is it more common now to be a stay-at-home mom?
Well, you know, what is a stay-at-home mom? I mean, you can stay at home for a while. I think people used to say, are you going to stay at home, as if that was going to be the rest of your life.
Right. And it's over now. Your little play with the workforce is done. Let's back to the real world.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then your final child goes to that 2 hours a morning play group and you think, hey,
right,
I'm going to go back to work. And I'm not leaving my kids. My kids are leaving me. I mean, the best thing about childhood is school, you know, because off they go every morning and you have no guilt because they got to be there. And you can go and do what you want to do and do what you did before if that's what you want. And gradually they do get older, and eventually they leave home for good. And what's happening now is we're living much longer.
Right.
We used to think of retirement at 60. That doesn't exist anymore. You know, we work well into our old age, however you want to define that, because we want to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So is it difficult, though, when you take 10 years or 13 years off? It's not like something you can waltz, or can you waltz back into your previous career? Are people doing that, or are they doing like you did, choosing new careers or a variation of the old career?
I think nobody wants to go back to exactly the situation that they left. And you wouldn't, even if you hadn't had a child, if somebody said to you, hey, you know that job you had 7 years ago? Well, guess what?
It's back, baby.
You can go and sit back at that desk with those same people. You'd be like, oh, so been there, done that, right?
Right.
So just because you've had a child doesn't change your opinion about going backwards. And I think about coming back as moving forward. You know, life is supposed to be a series of new adventures. And what I regard as a successful comeback is a kind of synthesis of all the things that you've done and taking those things. So take my example. You know, I was a journalist and I traveled a lot and I worked. But now I've been at home for 7 years. So now what I'm doing is I'm a journalist and I travel a little bit talking to mothers who've been at home too. So it's a sort of synthesis of my domestic life and my professional life.
So you and your husband had a similar career. You were both journalists, and now he's an executive editor at the New York Times. How?
I don't know that we had. Okay, we were both journalists. I think the similarity ends there.
Okay.
My husband has always worked in an office, which, as I've already said, I hate. And he's always worked for a news organization as an on-staff person, and he's been posted places, and he's worked his way up to the top. I've always worked slightly outside the mainstream. I mean, I've worked for mainstream news organizations, but, you know, I'm much more give me an assignment as opposed to give me a job. And temperamentally, you know, we're suited to the way we approach journalism, although we both think like journalists, and so we can sort of discuss what's going on, and we have that in common. But he couldn't do what I do, and I could not possibly do what he does.
But I know where you were going with this, Megan, which is, do you feel like, Emma, you've lost some ground by taking time off to raise your kids?
If you'd asked me that 4 years ago, I would have said yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here I am today with a book which seems to have struck a chord, you know, here in the US, and that I'm proud of and that I've really enjoyed. And I don't feel that I've sacrificed being at home with my children either. So I kind of feel like I managed to make the whole thing work.
Right.
You know, I've got a career. I'm a role model to my girls. And I still get to pick them up from school when I want to, which is most days.
Yeah, I would say my wife would say the same thing. We were talking earlier. She's a psychotherapist. And I think she considers herself a better psychotherapist because of the time she took off, the life experiences she had. She now brings that to her work. So it's made her a better person.
A lot of women say that. A lot of women say that the time that they spend at home gives them an added dimension when they return to work.
Yeah.
One of the criticisms you sometimes hear about all the writing about how you can have it all, you can, you know, do the, you can have a job and a family, is it's often written by journalists, and journalism is a career that easily lends itself to picking your children up at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. What about careers? I know you interviewed different people in your book. Mm-hmm. So what about some careers that you wouldn't naturally think would lend itself to parenting older children?
I wanted to look for those careers. Particularly, I really wanted to find a doctor, which I did, as you know.
Yeah, see, that would be hard going back as a doctor.
Yeah, because medicine, the conundrum about medicine is that the qualities that make a good doctor and are the same ones that make a good mother. And, you know, the caring, nurturing, patient mother is also a caring, nurturing patient doctor. Yet medicine is very unfriendly to mothers more than to women. Mothers tend to go to part-time rather than quit and then come back again. So I wanted to find a mother who had done that, and I did. But it was difficult to find one.
It wasn't easy, I'm sure.
No, yeah. It wasn't. But, you know, there is her story, and you can read it, and you can learn what her struggles were, and you can sort of celebrate the fact that she made it work. I also wanted to find a lawyer because I'd talked to a number of lawyers, women lawyers, who, when they had their children and quit law, a number of them said, one thing I never want to do is go back and work in a law firm.
That's what all lawyers say. As soon as you get out, you never want to go back.
I didn't understand. You know, one of my big regrets is that I never went to law school. It's the sort of educational gap that I mean, I love the law. I used to write about crime and trials, and I find the law fascinating. So I was like, how could you possibly never want to go back to a law firm? But I also find that the law is a difficult subject, a difficult area to leave for a lengthy period of time and go back at the same level or at a high level.
So that's an interesting example of it's not, I don't think it's the profession that requires that you stay there, but the culture doesn't like it that you left.
Well, I would say that you're sort of arguing the same point. I mean, the point that I was going to make is it's hard to make partner. Mm-hmm. You know, I've watched...
You're on the mommy track, not the partner track. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I found a lawyer who took 5 years off and then went and joined a really prestigious DC law firm and made partner so that you could read her story. And again, she's unusual, but she's done it. And I wanted... you know, people to know that she's done it. You know, she's not extraordinary. She's very talented and tenacious. But if she's done it, you know, other people can do it too. So, you know, this book is written by a journalist, but it's not about seven journalists. It's about a variety of careers to give you that kind of diversity.
So what about technical skills? How they're... even if you don't have a technical career, it seems like computers are changing so fast. How do women keep up with those kinds of things?
Well, funny enough, you keep up now more easily than you did, let's say, 10 years ago. And one of the ways that you keep up is through your children, because your kids are probably doing their homework on a computer. They've probably got cell phones. They're probably texting. And... the other thing is that as technology develops, it becomes far more user-friendly. I mean, do you remember when AOL first started and it was AOL for DOS and you had to, like, type logins?
Yeah.
You know, and there were no pictures that you could click on. Mm-hmm. You had to just know the series of commands. Well, you know, old and young people can basically open up, let's do a plug and say a Mac. And it's really, really easy to get going. So I don't think that part of... I think that medicine and science, if you're in that kind of career, is harder. But for most professions, technology is very user-friendly now.
Mm. So I have a question about mommy blogs. They're getting to be really popular, and a lot of women are writing really personal things about, you know, postpartum depression and just, you know, their sex life. Should women be cautious about writing those kind of things the same way that, say, high school kids should be cautious about their Facebook for future employers looking at these types of things? Do employers look up people on the look up at their mommy blogs?
I don't want her. She had postpartum depression. She's will never.
I can't answer that because I don't know what employers do. I always suspect that everybody's much more pressed for time than we think. And so that, you know, employers basically look at a resume and conduct a quick interview and decide whether or not they like the person. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's probably more likely. The internet is a scary place because there it is up for good. And, my advice to anybody writing a blog is be careful. Mm. You know, it's going to be up there.
Forever and ever.
So you have a website, thecomebackbook.com, and it's really interactive. there's message boards, and how much time do you spend interacting with readers there?
At the moment, none, because my book isn't published.
Right.
But what I set it up to do is, and this is because, again, being a mother and not wanting to travel too much, I really would like to appear to book clubs, and I would like to appear to book clubs in the same way that I'm appearing with you via Skype or iChat. So I use the last section of my advance as a business investment to set up this website myself so that I could travel by the internet. And if you had a book club and you wanted me to come and sort of have the conversation that I'm having with you, I could basically park my children in front of television for half an hour and say, okay, let's discuss the comeback, and make it a really immediate experience for groups of, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 women who have the same kind of questions that you do. And yet I'm not traveling around the country and taking time away from my kids.
What a good idea.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
That's well, awesome. I hope it works, because I hadn't seen it anywhere else before. And, you know, a million people can write in and say, yes, we've been doing it forever. But I thought it was a really good way for a mother to promote her book. And that's what I am, you know. So I'm very techie. So I wanted to do something that kind of took advantage of my techiness.
That's really smart, because you hear of a lot of authors, you know, going to book clubs by phone. And that doesn't have the same effect as I think by Skype would.
No. And, you know, my kids and I got into iChat. I'm sure lots of people do this, where we realized how to make it work. And one person went into the kitchen and the other person went into the living room. And we were like, hi, you know, it was so much fun. And then I thought, God, you know, you could really do this.
Yeah.
So it started with us playing around, you know, and then we took it from there. So I hope that lots of people contact my website and say, okay, come talk to our book club.
You have a page actually on the website with a schedule and a place to fill out and so forth. And what a great idea. I think
And we did test runs of, you know, how many questions and how many people should, you know, ask questions and, you know, how many people there should be, you know, because it should be a group of people, not just one person.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right. No, this looks like a great idea. I just love it. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're definitely techie. I think a lot of people, when I deal with them who aren't necessarily writing about technology and I say Skype, they just say, what? But you're like, oh, yeah, I have Skype. I have the newest version. I can send video. No problem.
Well, I've had a lot of interview requests this summer, and people have said, you know, can I call you? And I've sent back saying, do you have Skype or iChat? Mainly women's magazines. And no, we don't have any of that. No, you should, because it's actually a great way to interview people, as you guys know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do it all the time. My whole network is based on, frankly, is on based on this. I can't make people come to us, but thanks to technology, we can do a fantastic job, I think.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I think
you having me.
Book clubs would really be interested in this. I think it's fascinating. It's hard to navigate this world of whether I should work or not work. And thanks so much. So the book is called The Comeback, 7 Stories of Women Who Went From Career to Family and Back Again. And the author is Emma Gilby Keller. And her website is thecomebackbook.com.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Emma.
Thanks very much, guys.
Really appreciate
it.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. So that's really neat. I just think I like seeing an author be that technically literate.
Yeah.
That they can actually promote this idea. I don't know of anybody who's ever done that, the idea of Skype book club.
No, because I know that the phone call book club doesn't always.
So that does exist.
It does. Yeah. A lot of authors will do that. I mean, because they want people to.
Sure.
Buy their books.
And
they
who
want
wants
many
to do
groups.
A book tour? I mean, many, frankly, many publishers and authors can't afford a book tour.
Right.
There's no justification for it.
And so for moms, book tours for books geared towards moms.
Go away
yeah.
for 3 weeks.
Right.
I've
or
heard
even
of people
the
bringing
people,
their kids, but that's a nightmare.
Yeah. But I mean, I think I've said this on the show before. Like, when Michael Chabon was at Copperfields, one of my favorite authors, I couldn't even get the energy up to go get a babysitter and go, three block walk, you know. So, yeah, that was exciting. So now we have our Audible pick.
Do you have an Audible pick? Let me mention Audible.com, our fine sponsor. Audible is a great place to listen to books. Now, I know a lot of moms, especially, or parents. I shouldn't say moms, because this is a show for parents.
Mm-hmm.
Moms and dads find that the rigors of raising a kid sometimes can keep you from reading all you want, or by the time you get in bed with a book, you're one page and you're out. I know that's my case. On the other hand, we do have lots of times when we could be listening to a book, whether it's at the gym or driving to work, taking a walk, even if you've got the stroller or the dog with you, or, you know, you could even listen while you're nursing or singing a lullaby, or I found lots of time to listen to my Audible books. I wouldn't want to give them up. Audible.com/monkeys is the place to go for a free book. If you haven't yet signed up for Audible, just go to that site, audible.com/monkeys, and you can pick one of 50,000 stories. Now, we often do on this show kids' books picks, but they have, of course, plenty of adult books in every possible subject. I read a lot of history, and I love it. But there's all kinds of stuff. Did you pick a kid book this time?
I picked a kid book this time. The adult book I'm reading, it would not be my pick.
Just out of curiosity, what is it?
It's Lullaby by Chuck Palahniuk.
I love Chuck Palahniuk, but he's not for kids.
No, he's not for kids.
I haven't read Lullaby. Is that a new one?
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
Choke into a movie, and
really,
I don't know if I'm really ready for that.
Yeah, Lullaby is dark, and especially for parents. But it's interesting, but I don't know. Let me finish listening to it. I listened to it at the gym.
Fight Club, right?
He did.
And The Diary.
And I read Fight Club, too, the book, and it's great, even after seeing the movie.
He's a brilliant writer, but he likes to challenge his readers.
So I wanted to be challenged, so I downloaded that. But I don't know if all of you want to be challenged.
So what do you got?
So my pick is We're Going on a Bear Hunt. You remember that book?
We're going on a bear hunt. A bear hunt. Well, that's a song.
It's a song, and it's also a book by Michael Rosen. On Audible, this is We're Going on a Bear Hunt, Listen and Join In. So it's the book, which is pretty short. We're going on a bear hunt. Are we listening?
So it's that song.
Yes. And it's... What's the time on that? It's like about 15 minutes?
Is 45 that minutes.
45 minutes. It's got songs and they...
So they make more out of it than just that.
Yeah, which is great, than the simple book, which would last about five minutes.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I know. The book isn't very long.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, we're going to catch a big one. We're not scared. It's wishy-swashy.
It's a camp song.
So
this is kind of neat. I didn't know Audible. Audible does more than, again, they always amaze me.
I know.
They really do a great job with producing these. They make them more than just a kid's book or a spoken version of the book. They really produce it, and this is a very good example.
Yeah, I think that this might have been produced by someone else, and they just
says Walker Books Limited.
Yeah, and then they then just have
Some of Audible stuff they do themselves, and some of it, you know, like, by the way, they told me my book is available.
And is it?
Let me see, Little Golden Riding Hood.
There's been books on tape with songs for a long time, and a lot of those they've digitized and put on Audible.
Yeah, they have little Red Riding Hood. They still have little Golden Riding Hood. Darn their eyes.
Okay, I got another link for you.
All right, so that's it. Audible.com/monkeys.
You get a free book.
So make sure you go out and do that, because everybody loves Audible, and parents especially. You're going to really feel like, wow, I'm getting some of my time, my life back.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Audible.com/monkeys. Thank them for their support of Audible, of Jumping Monkeys.
Thank Audible, their support for Audible.
They support Audible. And us together.
Okay. Rich sent me this link that I'm loving. It's called Taught LOL.
Taught LOL.
T-O-T-L-O-L.
Taught Laugh Out Loud.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's a new video site for little kids, 0 to 5. All the videos are submitted by the community and rated by the community. There are no ads. It's powered by YouTube. I don't know what that means. I don't know what powered by YouTube means.
Powered by YouTube.
But do you want to go to the site and take a look at some of these videos? They're all appropriate you know, it's community rated.
Well, I like this idea. So maybe it's YouTube videos that are appropriate for kids.
Yes, exactly. So they have little ones, you know, cats morphing into other things, little Shrek babies.
Which one do you want me to pick?
How about morphing cats? Well, I don't remember if the morphing cats have any. Try that green one. I think he's a gummy bear. That's a gummy bear song.
All right. Gummy Bear English, it's called.
Yeah.
So this is the navigation suitable for kids? It looks like it's kind of...
Yeah, no, it's... And there's a little gummy bear singing. I'm not sure what this is from. It might be from like a popular television show that I just don't know about. It's cute, huh? So it's great.
This is for little kids. I mean, little kids
can navigate
right?
around this. There's Thomas, you know, and it's... Because otherwise, you know, you can spend a lot of time...
You don't want to put a little kid on YouTube.
No, you don't.
I mean, that would terrorize
it's
them.
It's dangerous. Yeah. But you can put a little kid on Tot LOL or navigate it with them.
Tot, T-O-T. I always... When you say Tot, I think T-A-U-T. Tot.
Tot.
It's like a tot.
Tot.
A tot. But it's T-O-T, laugh out loud. Tots.
Yes.
Tots, laugh out loud.
Do you think powered by YouTube means that it's like a YouTube site, or it's just that they have to say powered by YouTube because they're getting all the videos from YouTube?
I don't know. Let's see here. Powered by YouTube. Created copyright by Tot LOL. Fabriqué au Canada. I think that they're... Maybe they have a relationship with YouTube.
Maybe.
But
hopefully it'll still be around and not disappear like many things that when the big companies find out about them.
Why would YouTube mind? They allow you to embed stuff. That's
right. Yeah. Why would YouTube mind when they're the ones taking content from other people?
Yeah, exactly.
They're not, but you know.
Tot LOL is a community moderated video. So that's interesting. So the videos are chosen by the community.
Right.
Video website designed to be enjoyed for those under the age of 13. And it's an independent website made in Vancouver.
Huh.
What a Vancouver. That is very, very neat. I like that.
All right. So I think archivist Allison is going to call us
pretty soon.
Any minute now.
Do you want to introduce her? Tell folks what she's all about.
Yes. Allison has been on the show a few times. She's an archivist, a professional archivist, went to library science school, and she's a mom. And she has a blog at archivistallison.com.
Which, by the way, I think we should take some credit for, because she was on the show and she didn't have a blog.
Right. She was the first person ever to be on the show that didn't have anything to point to at the end.
She said, what do you want? What should we use? What URL should we use for you? I don't know. Google? I don't know. But now she's got it's a beautiful blog. She's done a great job. And the subtitle, Information is Worth Little Without Context.
Yes.
I love that.
So she's very good at describing things. She's talked to us about our stuff and organizing it, and she's talked to us about making sure to read the fine points when you put stuff online. And today she's going to talk to us about scanning your digital photos. And I think I said that I was going to call her and tell her to call us, but I can't remember.
Well, then we best do that. Pause the recording here. You know, so while we're waiting for Allison, this would actually be a good time for me to mention another sponsor on the show, the good folks at GoToMeeting. Now, this is actually kind of appropriate given our last interview, because GoToMeeting helps you do business without leaving home. And if you're a mom in the business environment, you can have business meetings, sales meetings, talk to colleagues, collaborate, train, all without leaving home using GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is the best online meeting technology. For one thing, you pay one low monthly rate for as many meetings as you want, as often as you want. So you don't have to worry about it getting out of control. You can just use it as you need it. It's very easy to set up a meeting. If you're using Windows, you can set it up with Outlook with just a click of the mouse, and it'll send out an invitation. But you know what? It works on Mac now too, which is really good news for us Apple lovers. And it's just fantastic. So here's the deal. Let's say I want to talk to Megan. We're going to have a meeting about sales opportunities on Jumping Monkeys. So I sent her an email. Said, Megan, I want to get together. I have this great show. I want to do a presentation for you about what a great show this is and how good it'd be for your business. Let me just click this. Tell you what. Let's talk at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. And just click this link, and we'll get on the phone. Now, by the way, they have voice over IP, so you don't have to use regular phone service if you don't want to, although you can. We get on the phone. She clicks the link. She doesn't have to install anything. She just goes to gotomeeting.com, and she's seeing my computer. So she's seeing the PowerPoint or the the documents or anything that we're talking about, just as if I'm there showing it to her. We can collaborate on a on the same document together. We can I can train her by showing, saying, you know, here's how you use the software, and then she takes over. It's really remarkable. Get 30 days free. Try it right now. Just see how it will help you. If in your business, or if you're a stay-at-home caretaker, maybe in your home life too, go to meeting.com. Get 30 days free by going to gotomeeting.com/monkeys. gotomeeting.com/monkeys. Mac or PC now. That's really good news. We thank them so much for their support of Junking Mumpies. I really like that name. I wish we could call ourselves Junking Mumpies. Did you text her?
I will call her, right?
I'm all ready to take that call. It's Archivist Allison on the phone.
Yes, indeed. Hello, Leo.
Hi, Archivist Allison.
Can you hear me this time, Allison?
I can, Megan. Thank heavens.
I didn't realize you couldn't hear her last time.
No, it's all right. I'm ready for all of Megan's being deep, interesting questions.
She is. She's full of deep, interesting questions. So what are we talking about today?
I believe I'm ready to talk about scanning your personal photos. Tips for scanning your personal photos.
Yes.
Now, that's the question. Do you want us to talk to you, or do you want to just kind of launch into it?
On archivistallison.com, I actually did a series of essays that have basically five steps to them. So why don't I present what I think the five steps to this process are, and then we can just discuss them.
All right.
How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. So I'll just read them. The first is you should select the images that you want to scan. The second is you'll want to select a file format. I think that's second. The third, you'll want to decide what resolution you want to scan at. The fourth is how you're going to store them once they're scanned. And the fifth is deciding whether you're going to do it yourself or send them off to a professional. Mm-hmm. And those are in order for a very specific reason. I'll go ahead and say that. You want to decide, so we're talking about your personal physical photos, and there's a knee-jerk response that suggests that people who want to do a scanning project want to scan them all. And that may be true, but I suggest you think about that, because it may or may not be true. Mm. File formats come second, because the file format that you should use, in my opinion, is TIFF. And TIFFs are really big. And so if you
TIFFs,
decide...
TIFFs as in T-I-F, not GIFs, G-I-F.
No.
Why TIFFs? Why T-I-F?
Why TIFF? Yeah. Well, TIFFs right now, digital file formats are not ever fixed, constant, always the best. But TIFFs are TIFF, tagged image file format, is actually what it stands for, is an uncompressed file format.
So that's the most likely to be able to be read down the line.
It's very well used, and unlike JPEGs, which... I don't think I have enough time to talk about how much I dislike JPEGs, but unlike JPEGs, they do not compress the image information in a lossless way. When you have a JPEG, actually, the hard reality of JPEGs is every time you open up a JPEG and you change it and you save it and you close it, it actually gets a little worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the nature of the JPEG algorithm. Now, I'm not talking about JPEG 2000 before, you know, the techies jump, you know, down my neck. I'm talking about old JPEGs. They're a lossless compression, and TIFFs aren't. It also means they're very big, though, and a lot of scanning companies don't scan to TIFF because of it.
Yeah, you really don't want JPEGs. You really don't.
And unfortunately, most cameras take JPEGs, and so that seems like to everybody the default. But like I say, I don't want to... people out that their camera takes JPEGs and I just said, you know, JPEGs.
Well,
we often tell
people to shoot RAW if they can, and
if they can,
a TIFF is kind of like
$1,000 camera.
Yeah, the TIFF is kind of like the RAW of scanning.
Well, no, but it is a very good file format.
Yeah,
RAW is actually kind of problematic in its own way, because each company, I don't know if you know this, each company has their own proprietary RAW format.
Right. Right.
So actually, it is widely used as TIFF. I think there's a group of manufacturers trying to settle on a communal RAW, which will be a good thing. But right now, TIFF is really the most interchangeable, losslessly. It's not even compressed. Full file format.
So if I want to take all my old pictures and put them online to share them on like Flickr or SmugMug or something,
yes.
Can I do that with TIFFs?
Oh, perfect question. Because actually, probably not. There are two different types of reasons that you'll probably want to scan your photos. One is, I call them the quick and dirty camp, and I call them the best as possible camp. And when you want to post your personal photos to Flickr, you're probably, if you're going to want to do this scanning thing once, Megan, right? Like, if you want to do it once and for all,
right?
You probably will want to scan them to TIFF, but that's not what you're going to post to Flickr, right? You're going to have to make smaller copies to post.
Okay.
You're going to want to make smaller copies. And so, again, you're dealing with a typical digital archivist stance. You want to make one copy for preservation. That's the TIFF. You maintain it like it's a gold standard. But from that TIFF, you can make many different renditions, many different use copies for whatever you need it for. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That does.
So if you're going to do this, and if you're going to want to do it once, if you're in the best of the best as possible camp, yes, you're going to want to scan to TIFF. But you're going to have, you want to think of those as like your gold CD from which all other copies of that image is made.
I guess that's kind of what I was saying when it's camera raw. It's like it's the best quality that you can then use to make other things. Although,
yes,
the good news about SmugMug, we talked to them last week. The good news about them is they do support TIFF. So you can upload TIFFs to them. But you're right. Most places will not accept a TIFF. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's not that they won't accept it. They'll accept small ones. I mean, if you make a tiny TIFF, they'll accept them.
I don't know. Can you upload a TIFF to Flickr? Maybe you can.
I'm not a big Flickr user,
tried.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
And if their restriction, you know, it would be nicer if it were based on file size rather than
type.
No?
Right.
All right. So that's the truth about that. It's hard. It's expensive bandwidth-wise to share TIFFs. They're big. They take a long time, you know. That's why those guys don't want to store them.
Makes
all
sense.
All right. So now you've decided that which ones you're going to scan, and you've decided that you're either in the quick and dirty camp, which means it doesn't really matter what file format you use, or you're in the best possible camp, which means that TIFF is your ideal format right now. You'll want to decide what resolution you want to use. So I go into this more on the site, and I don't know that I want to bore everybody with this now, but you know, digital pictures are made of little dots of color, right? And they're usually rectangular, and so we tend to measure them in the digital world by how many dots they have on a side. And that's the resolution. So unfortunately, people are used to thinking of resolution as a number like 300 ppi or 300 dpi. And while I'm not saying that's a bad thing, it's actually really a lot more tied to printing than you think. If a digital picture is 3,000 pixels on the long side, but stored as 72 ppi, that's actually the same picture as one that's 3,000 pixels on a side stored at 300 ppi. It's just the way the computer interprets it that's different. I hope that wasn't too confusing. It's a very confusing topic. So you want to scan your pictures. I think a really good size is 3,000 pixels on a side. No matter what size the picture is, because that is a nice average between giant and small. To me, ready for questions? That one was a biggie.
Yeah, I get this one all the time. Is how big a image should I scan? And I guess the answer is probably on the one hand, as much space as you have,
right?
But on the other hand, you know, there's a point of diminishing returns. Your image itself only has a certain amount of resolution to begin
with. That's right. And the National Archives actually has, they have an alternative minimum scanning size for their own works, which is 3,000 pixels in the long dimension. Does that make sense?
The only question about that is 3,000 pixels. I like DPI better, because if it's a 7-inch image or a 4-inch image, you're different DPIs. 3,000 pixels for a 4-inch image is a much higher DPI than for a 7-inch image.
The thing is, Leo, is that let's take some round numbers. Say you have a picture that's 1,000 pixels on the long side, all right? It's 1,000 pixels on the long side no matter what. If it's at 300 ppi, ppi, that means it'll print at about 3 inches. If it's 72 dpi, that means it'll print at, you know, whatever, 3 times that.
Right.
It's the same picture. The only difference you find is when it is printed.
I always get confused about this. But what if what if I say I have an 8x10 and then I have a 5x7? Both of them should be 3,000 pixels to the
exactly.
side?
Exactly. This is a compromise. What I'm suggesting to you guys is a compromise.
But am I not scanning the smaller image at a higher resolution than
the larger image?
Okay.
If you are.
Okay.
But
why am I doing that? Why don't I just scan everything at the same resolution?
That is certainly possible, but what I'm looking at is the file that you end up at the end of your scanning process.
Well, that's also dependent on how big the... Oh, I see. You're right. The file sizes all be the same if you always scan at the same resolution.
Yeah. Not at the same resolution, but it's the same pixel length on the same side. That's right. You're going to...
Why would you... So why are you doing that? Don't you care about having the same quality, not the same file size?
They will be at the same... What you're doing is you're making a compromise here between making giant images and then making different kinds of choices for every picture that you've got.
Okay.
Especially if you're going to send it off for somebody else to do it. You can give them one parameter that they meet. And 3,000 pixels on the long side is a good size. Because let me look at it this way, Leo. What are you going to do with that digital picture?
Yeah, what are you going to print it on that's higher resolution than that? Yeah.
Right. Right?
Although, again, as always, as you know, archivist Allison, we talk about this all the time. You're thinking about the future, too. And presumably they'll have better printers in the year 2020.
Right.
But, I don't know.
But 3,000 pixels on the long side can print you a poster.
Right.
On a good printer right now.
Yes.
So, of course, I don't know what you're going to need this for in the future. Of course I don't. I'm suggesting a standard that you can use for every picture that you've got. So that you get a digital picture on the other side that will be useful, of a very nice size, but not too big, and where you have every picture to the same quality. Your 5x7 will, in fact, look the same, like the same picture once scanned as your 8x10, because they'll be the same size.
Right.
Okay. Well,
I know that's big.
Is there a link to the National Archives site where they can talk about what their standards are?
Sure. It's in the part. I guess it's in the part 3 of my essay series. I'll give Megan a link.
Go to archivistallison.com, and it's all there.
Yep.
Archivistallison.com. It's your 21st post because it's /post/21.
that's the index post to them all. Yes,
that's the place to go, and and then so you'll have links to the National Archives and their standards.
Yep.
And I have to say, if the National Archives says it's good enough, if it's good enough for them,
right?
I think it's gonna be good enough for my mom's.
Well,
they have
stricter standards for a lot of their stuff, but this is an alternative standard that I think is good for personal use. I really do.
Right. Very good.
Well, thanks, Allison.
Thanks, Megan. Can Megan ask me one deep, interesting question?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
I'm sorry.
When are we going to see post 22?
That's good.
Heavy, fair enough. Fair
heavy,
enough.
Heavy, heavy, very heavy.
Okay, we'll
talk
to you
Allison.
Soon.
Thank you, Allison. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I wreck my ship on the shoals of this conversation frequently, and I've heard all different stories about what you should do and what you shouldn't do, so I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah,
she's the archivist.
I know. I kind of lost you guys somewhere in that conversation.
What she did was make it very simple, which is just say, always scan at the same resolution.
Right.
3,000 by, I guess, 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
That is the number of pixels. And in any scanner, you can set that.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see on a scanner, it says, we do 12,000 by 7,500. But she's saying you don't need to do it that high. Do 3,000 on a side. 3,000 pixels on a side.
Got it.
3,000 dots on a side. And it's certainly an easy rule of thumb.
Right.
But you'll get in big arguments.
I need to work on just keeping my camera battery charged.
I know. You don't scan. You know, this is the other issue is now you're all digital now, right?
Well, not my wedding pictures. Not anything before I got my first camera, which was like 2001 or something. You know, so...
You know what Jennifer's doing to me?
What?
She's gone back to a film camera.
Oh.
She now is big into film. So that's now my whole system.
Yeah, that's ruined.
It's ruined.
Yeah. Okay, now it's the time in the show where we listen to the feedback from you people.
Now they can call in, right?
They can.
What is that number? 707?
Mm-hmm.
781?
Mm-hmm. 46.
02.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our Grand Central number. You can call in. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna log into Grand Central, see if we got any messages.
Okay, well, I'll read an email. You can also give us feedback at megan@twit.tv. This is from David from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And he says, I remember Leo mentioning at one point that listening to audiobooks in the car helps prevent road rage.
I don't know if I said that, but I believe that that's true.
He says, I'm reminded of this as I rock my crying infant to sleep in the middle of the night listening to audiobooks and your podcast, of course. They give a little extra dose of patience for those long nights.
I think that's true.
Yeah. So thanks, David. I was thinking about that. If I had an iPod, I didn't have an iPod with either babies.
You didn't?
Any of my babies. Yeah.
You're starting to sound old. You didn't have seatbelts when you were a kid. You didn't have a digital camera for your wedding. You didn't have an iPod for your kids?
No.
Good Lord. Well, do you have running water in the house?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Isn't it funny? Because, I mean, you're so much younger than me. And I always think of you as the kid.
Right.
But this stuff changes so fast.
I know. Compared to a lot of these kids you're working with today.
I know.
I'm no longer a kid.
You're no longer a kid. You're the old lady.
Did we get any phone calls while we were gone?
God, did we get phone calls. Statesboro, Georgia, Los Angeles, or Beverly Hills? What would you? How about a European call?
Yes.
Listen carefully and learn.
Hello, Megan and Leo. This is Ken Tunnel calling in from the Netherlands again. Just listened to the last episode of Junkie Monkeys, and I'd like to thank the listener for the recommendation for LibriVox. I've just downloaded the Count of Monte Cristo and I'm going through it.
I love the Count of Monte Cristo. So he's talking about the free book download site. Do you remember what it was? It was LibriVox. LibriVox, that's mm-hmm. right.
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to use Audible because I run Linux primarily, so it's...
Yeah, for Linux users, Audible's not a good choice. They don't have a client. It's only Windows and Mac.
Nice. I'm also thrilled that you've got these as a sponsor, because finally us Linux users have a way of supporting the network. I've just been to Ireland, and they've started making some Visa purchases, and they rang me straight away to see if these purchases were, in fact, authorized. So it looks like all the stuff that you're saying on the network does work.
That's great.
Just wanted, again, to thank you very much for that tip about the LibriVox recordings. Okay. Enjoy the show. Keep it up.
Nice to have our listeners from the Netherlands.
Yes.
That's fantastic. That was neither Beverly Hills nor Los Angeles.
No.
Nor you want to do Statesboro, Georgia?
I'll read an email first.
You want to read another one?
I'll read an email.
All right.
This is Krista from California.
Okay.
She says, I love the Spend, Save, Give part and always keep my ears peeled to this portion of the show as I find you have loads of cool new ideas, products, and resources. That's why I'm writing you today. I have been using a new diaper product, which I absolutely love and wanted to share with you, although as up to date as you guys are.
When you suggested that we do a show about parenting in the digital age, I knew it would end up being about diaper
products.
About
diapers.
Yeah.
It's not all about diapers, and we're not as up to date on diapers because all of our kids are now out of diapers.
That's right.
But she talks about G-Diapers.com. They're a new diaper, which is a kind of a hybrid of a cloth and a disposable diaper.
Ah.
The greatest part is that the diaper part is flushable.
Ah, so it's like a liner.
Yeah, no waste, no smell, and the contents go where they're supposed to go in
That's
the toilet.
Good. And yet, you have the wrappable liner. We always had those nice bio bottoms.
What
are
those?
Do they still have bio bottoms?
I don't know.
Diaper wraps. Oh, they were so great. They were made here in Petaluma.
Did you throw those in the...
You keep those. You wash those.
Yeah, I like the idea of flushing the toilet. Flushing that stuff that.
Yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to. Well, we did anyway.
Yeah.
I guess if they're. I don't want to get into.
Yeah.
Too much
okay.
Detail.
Let's listen to Beverly Hills.
Actually,
hello. I was just listening to the episode about archiving logs for children, and we had two comments to point out. First of all, if you use the new version of Word with Office 2007, you have a publish button. That allow you to publish records in a live spaces thing.
Good point.
Talking about being able to upload text to a blog and have a local copy. And also for all the Mac users, iLife and iPhoto can do the same thing as Picasa can, assuming you have a mobile me account now. So anyway, just love the show. Thanks for.
That's a great point. When you're gonna do because we were talking about blogs and how having them online isn't necessarily protected forever.
Mm-hmm.
So archivist Allison said you should have a local copy as well as the online copy.
Right.
But many programs allow you to do both. So
right.
like Word, you can write a document, save it, but you can also publish it to the
right.
net. Good compromise. Yeah, great idea.
All right. Do you want to hear an email?
I'd love to hear an email.
Suzanne writes, and this is in reference to whether kids would be better learning from a PC or a Mac or Linux. Remember, we had that discussion.
Yeah.
And she says, I think the thing about kids learning computers isn't necessarily that their minds are more malleable than those of adults. I think kids are just more willing to mess around with things and figure out what they need to do. Too many grown-ups are worried about the old, I might break the computer thing. I totally agree with that.
Hmm.
And she says, my favorite site for my daughter when she first started using the internet was boobah.com, which
Boobah.
Is boohbah.com. I think you'll like this site. Because there are no instructions. The only way you can use it is to click around and just discover what happens. You like that?
Should I start it now, or should I probably wait till after the show is over?
You just click. There's music and there's dancing, little boobas.
Okay, hold on a second. I got it. B-O-O-B-A-H.
B-O-O-H.
B-O-O-H.
B-A-H.
B-A-H dot com.
Mm-hmm. And Suzanne also writes, from what I've heard about the OLPC, she says, I'd fall into the Linux camp. Because on the OLPC, it encourages exploration and learning how to learn. Kids don't need to be taught how to get a job. If they learn how to learn and they have their natural creativity encouraged and challenged, they'll pick up how to use a particular piece of software
easily. Oh, this is from PBS Kids.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, because it's the... What was that show with the... You just keep playing that one sound. I can't remember what that show is. Teletubbies. That must be from the Teletubbies.
Ding, 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 pong. Goomba.
I knew you would love it.
What?
Oh, wait. Did you have to log out of our answering machine to get to the booba?
Oh, all right. Back to the answering machine. I was having so much fun.
Let's hear another call.
I like the boobas. Another call. This is from Rochester, New York.
Hi, guys. This is Dan. I love your show. You guys do a great job. I was a little skeptical at first, but you guys have won me over with your quick wit and your wonderful content.
Oh, he's calling Don and Drew. I think he got the wrong number.
Question. What do you think about starting my kids' computing experience on Linux instead of Windows?
Oh, that's just what we were talking about.
How do you think this will affect them as they grow up? I just think it'd be interesting because it's cheaper for me and for a first computer. I just thought maybe be the way to go.
I'll tell you.
What are your guys' thoughts? Thanks. Bye.
I'll tell you why I think it's a great idea for one thing, because they're not going to be able to break it as easily.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more robust. No viruses, nothing to worry about there. I think it's a very good choice for kids if you configure it properly. I mean, you have to make, there are ways to do this. And there's great games and educational stuff on Linux. I think it's a very good choice for younger kids.
Yeah, and it's cheaper. Yeah. Suzanne would agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as Suzanne pointed out, kids are flexible.
Right.
Linux is going to be around for a while. I think it's not a bad thing for them to learn now.
No, I think, they'll definitely be original.
Yeah. We do have a web button call, but it's a minute and 21 seconds.
I don't know. We might save that for next week. I think we've been on a long time. We've used up a lot of these people's time. These people have schedules.
You're right. Let's not waste
their time. They're making their
comeback. You're right. This is comeback time. So if you do want to make a call, there are a couple of ways. As we mentioned, you can make the phone call to 707-981-4602, and that'll call our Grand Central number. But you can also go to Megan's site, jumpingmonkeys.com, and press the web button there. And then, so cool, Grand Central calls you back.
Mm-hmm.
That one's free.
Yeah, that one's free. They call you right back.
That's the way to do it for free.
Right. Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Leo.
Thank you for doing this, because I was skeptical at first. But
You were, and you just said that. Yeah.
Was I skeptical?
Well, you just said that before about the diapers. You thought
it would all come down to poop. But no, this is so much more interesting than that. I actually love doing this show, and I'm so glad you come in every week. And I invite anybody who wants to watch us do it live, because it's really a very different show when you watch live. For one thing, Megan's really cute.
Oh, and Leo eats a lot of sushi.
And I eat. And you can watch me eat, and you can watch Megan be cute.
And you could see the Juku Couture doll.
Yeah.
And you can do that. Fully posable.
We do this every Thursday at about 1:30 Pacific time. That's 4:30 Eastern time. And you can just tune in at twitlive.tv and watch us do the show.
Mm-hmm.
So there are visuals. And, it's pretty much the same show, but visuals and unedited.
Right.
So you get the actual.
Because we do so much editing of the real show.
Okay. Well, maybe not.
No, there is you.
There's minor.
He's editing. Constantly cursing, and we have to edit it out.
I am so profane. I have to warn you. Yeah. This is a parenting show, not for kids, if you watch the live version.
I wanted to thank Emma Gilby Keller, too, for coming in, the author
of
The Comeback.
Great.
And, of course, thanks to archivist Allison.
Yeah, both of them great. We really love having our guests on, and we love having you listen, and we hope you'll come back and listen to us next time.
On Jumping Monkeys.
Bye-bye.